In December, Effingham County authorities made a grisly discovery, the bodies of two children buried behind their family's home, 14-year-old Mary Crocker and her brother, Elwin Crocker Jr., who was 14 when he died 2 years ago. At different times, both children were pulled out of public school to be homeschooled. The Crocker case was a shock and prompted some state legislators in the area to research issues of homeschooling and abuse. Georgia Representative Bill Hitchens is among them, a Republican representing Rincon and Chairman of the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee, joining me on the line from his hometown in Effingham County. Thank you so much for taking the time, Representative Hitchens.
Well, thank you very much for taking up this issue. It's certainly an important issue that affects not only people here where this terrible incident occurred, but it affects people all over the country. And I think we need to shine a little more light on it than has been in the past.
Well, also joining us from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., Samantha Field, policy advocate and board member for the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. Samantha, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Representative Hitchens, what prompted authorities to first visit the Crocker home?
I think it was an anonymous phone call. First, a tipster called and related that they thought there was a problem there. And I think as they look back on it, there had been a problem there for some time. And then when they went out there and started interviewing the occupants of the trailer, some of the information started to come forward.
Now, you live just 5 miles from the Crocker home. How have your neighbors reacted to this news?
Well, I think everybody in Effingham County is pretty much distraught by what occurred. You know, this is a fairly well-off county. You know, we have one of the better school systems in the state. We are just adjacent to Savannah. Many of the people here work at Gulfstream Aerospace, the ports, and have a pretty good income. And they just can't imagine that, just like in many other instances I've been involved with throughout my law enforcement careers, they just can't imagine that it happened here.
Mm. Well, Samantha, your organization is called the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, founded in 2013, made up of homeschool alums. Some had good experiences and some did not. Why was it founded?
So, because we're all homeschool alumni, we looked around and realized that there were lots of organizations that advocate on behalf of parents and guardians who want to home educate their children, but there were no organizations that advocated on behalf of homeschooled students themselves. So we were founded to advocate for the homeschooled students, to raise awareness for needed reforms that could help protect homeschooled students, and to offer resources to those who want to make sure that their homeschooling experience is as successful as possible, and to offer policy guidance to legislators, family services, etc.
So what are the current requirements for homeschooling here in Georgia?
So in Georgia, there is a requirement that they notify the State Department of Education that they intend to homeschool their children. And they're supposed to complete so many days of school for like 4.5 hours every day. But unfortunately, none of those additional requirements, there's no means of monitoring that to making sure that education is happening, that the children are being like progressing in an appropriately, developmentally appropriate way, and to make sure that situations like the Crocker case don't happen. Those protections don't exist in Georgia.
Now, Representative Hitchens, you've been looking into recommendations like that, working with other lawmakers. How do you think this could work for Georgians?
Well, you got to be very careful what you do. Homeschooling, I think, is a basic constitutional right. And what we don't want to do is to become emotional about this and produce a law that is going to constrain those people who do things the right way. You know, like I said, I've been in law enforcement my whole life, and typical trigger we use in the law enforcement community is probable cause. You know, you have to have probable cause to believe that some violation of the law has occurred before there can be any action. We get a lot of kickback on that because things happen in the community where people say, "Why didn't you do something about that?" Well, if you don't know or there's not any evidence, you can't do anything about it. And but it's a constitutional guarantee. What we've looked at here is where there's a trigger in the homeschooling. You know, Ms. Field has been great for me to work with. We had a long conversation the other day, and I think we're on the same page insofar as what kind of triggers might come up. We're researching it still. We've met with the state director of DFACS, the people at the Georgia Department of Education and law enforcement and everybody we can to try and come up with a proper way to go about instituting new legislation to make or tail this in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things are, one of them is truancy. If children don't come to school on a regular basis, usually it's an interaction from the school, some type of response. Teachers and administrators are mandatory reporters. If they see abuse or neglect, they're required to report it. DFACS gets involved. And oftentimes, shortly thereafter, children are withdrawn and homeschooled, and they become invisible to just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that was the case with both of these children. So, we're looking at maybe having some form of trigger when something like that occurs, that DFACS gets further involved and makes visits to the home.
Well, you're making a great point. I mean, the homeschooling movement gained ground in opposition to inadequate public education, sometimes
That's
on religious
correct.
Grounds, concerns about school safety, and mandated methods by federal education policy. So this is a population that doesn't want the government on its back. How do you, Samantha, you and your coalition, what kind of trigger mechanisms, as Representative Hitchens put it, can you put in place to a population that is largely unmonitored?
So one of the things that we're finding in the research that we do and just kind of keeping track as much as possible of what kind of goes on in home education environments is that there is a pattern across the country of parents and guardians having an encounter with Department of Family and Children Services, and at that point realize that their abuse has been spotted. And then they look to things like Georgia's home study program and say, I can exploit this. This is a loophole that exists for me. I don't want any more encounters with children's services, so I'm going to withdraw my children from school and isolate them. We see this happening all across the country. For example, the Office of the Child Advocate in Connecticut put together a report looking at school districts across the entire state and found that 36% of the time the children were being withdrawn from traditional school to be home educated, there were reports of abuse. 90% of the time, those reports were founded reports of abuse or a history of multiple reports of abuse. So if, for example, somebody has an encounter with Georgia's Department of Family Services, at that point, if they try to withdraw their children from school in order to isolate them, in order to exploit the homeschool statute that exists in Georgia, that we could empower the Department of Education, the local school board, the Department of Family and Children Services to say, hey, let's work with you on this case. Maybe homeschooling is the best option for you and your child in this situation, but let's make sure before we just let you go without any kind of more monitoring or oversight or accountability.
Now, of course, we want to make the point that students who go to public and private schools are also subject to abuse and neglect. But the fact that they are going to school with mandated reporting can affect how far an abuser can truly go. Now, Samantha, your organization, the CHRE, keeps a database called Homeschooling's Invisible Children, specifically tracking cases where homeschooling was used as a cover to isolate, abuse, and neglect children. Now, how do you track that?
So most of the time, it's only what's reported in the news. If a case is typically egregious enough or shocking enough, there will be reporting on it in the news. And anytime that news sources discover that a home education statute was a part of how the abuse was covered up or concealed, we keep track of that. But very often we're not able to confirm that right when the abuse happens. We have cases where we'll hear about a report and we might suspect that exploitation of a home education statute was involved, but it could take a year or more until we're able to confirm that. Sometimes we use court cases to try to keep track of it, but our database is admittedly minimal. Even so, we have over a dozen cases that occurred in Georgia alone since 2002. And looking at all of our cases broadly, what we're finding is that homeschool children and public school children are very often experiencing abuse and neglect at similar rates, but the lethality is much worse because isolation is such an important risk factor for abuse and neglect. And because things like starving your children to death can happen more easily if they're being homeschooled. Of course, homeschooling isn't usually happening in the situations. They're just exploiting the statute. Yeah. So those things can be worsened, and homeschooling can make abuse more lethal for children.
Well,
because there's no oversight.
Representative Hitchens, you know, therein lies the rub, right? The Crocker case, the 21st Georgia case listed in the CRHE database. So how are you going to approach that balance of people having the right to the privacy to educate their children as they wish to, and the fact that they are untracked and could be exploiting a loophole in the law in order to abuse their children in privacy?
Well, I think Ms. Field said it. What we have to do is to develop that process where those who are number one, who are moved out of the school system and homeschooled as a result of some type of issue that comes forward with that may have involved abuse or neglect, and making sure that that they're checked on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing we've looked at is this family came from South Carolina. There was domestic abuse in the family over there. There was a divorce. The mother actually did something that was very uncredible, and she lost credibility with the police department. So it was the children were awarded to the husband. He came over here, he remarried, and I think things went pretty well. They had some problems when they lived in the city of Rankin. There were some contacts with police, and then they moved out and lived with the grandmother, who was his new wife's mother. And the people in the neighborhood out there said they saw issues, and they wish now that they'd reported them, but they didn't. So what we need to do is better tracking and get the school system and DFAC to work together, which they already do. And I think there needs to be some interstate
investigation.
You know, informational. If somebody called over there and found out, see, when the boy disappeared, nobody even knew he was gone.
Representative Hitchens, I'm sorry that we have to leave it there, an important discussion, but appreciate hearing from Georgia Representative Bill Hitchens, Republican from Rankin, Chairman of the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Samantha Fields, thanks so much.
Thank you.